chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Isn't the creation of God amazing? This morning I was getting Marcia ready, and I'm starting to get her ready. Thank God for Chad's Marcia coming in and doing the finishing touches. She does such a wonderful job at that. But I was watching, and all of a sudden, here comes my birds. I try real hard to keep my birds fed real well, so they keep coming back and forth. And there's some beautiful birds that come in, and there's some they're sparrows. They have red breasts. They're just beautiful little guys. And I was thinking this morning, amazed how the creation is, how God created those little birdies. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have feathers. I'm glad I can put a coat on and a jacket and a nice pair of boots and stay warm, amen. But those little birdies, you know, they got their feathers. Somehow, when it gets cold out, it's funny. I watch them, they kind of puff up. You know, they puff up. And I don't know how they puff up, but they puff up. And it's amazing how God has created our universe. When you look around all the things, I don't know about you, but I've been watching the sun, how it gets so far south, and now it's, Lord willing, it's starting to come back, amen. And what a difference, you know, in time. And you know, we get down to about 8 hours of sunlight, and all the way to in summer we get 15 hours of sunlight, which is a wonderful thing. If you go a little farther north, you get a lot more sunlight in the summer and a lot less sunlight in the winter. But I know Chad and I were up in the Arctic one time, and good night, it never got dark. It was just light all the time, all day, 24 hours a day, amen. But it's amazing how God has created us and how he's created this magnificent universe. I'm glad the sun keeps coming up on the east and going down the west, amen. I am amazed how that old moon will follow it every day, amen. And we have so much to be thankful for. You know, there are a group of people today that do not like that. They don't like that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't like it that Jesus Christ created this heaven and earth. In fact, they will tell you that they don't believe there's a God. Isn't it interesting? The same people that tell you there isn't a God, they always accuse God of doing bad things. How can you accuse something that isn't there? It's kind of like your boy telling your, my problem was I didn't have a brother. And so I didn't have anybody to say it was his fault. Because if something happened, they knew who it was, amen. So it's amazing how the world is like that. And they try to tell you, and then all of a sudden, such as this thing that happened to all these children, it's God's fault. Well, first of all, idiot, there's no God, right? Didn't you just tell me there was no God? How can you say it's God's fault? Amen. Secondly, it is man's fault because man sinned in the Garden of Eden. And death passed upon all men. And we will always have wickedness. Man, it will always have wickedness. And so what's new? It's just the problem is you've turned God off and you've said God is not there. And you're living like it. But I will tell you, the Bible said it is appointed on man once to die and then the judgment. So your day is going to come, whether you want to admit it or not, that there's a God or not. And you can say there isn't, but there is. And there is no way that this magnificent universe could be completed like it is today. Mankind, from the beginning of time, has had a serious problem with God. They've always wanted to govern their own selves instead of allowing God to govern us. Listen to what the Bible says over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For by him all things created that are in heaven, and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And listen to this. This is what they don't like. For him. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Even though God created mankind, gave mankind the perfect place to live, the Garden of Eden, man does not want to admit that there is a God, let alone bow to him who controls the universe of this planet, and kingdoms and governments. Psalm 2:2 says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Psalm 66, verse 7. "He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah." Psalm 33, verse 13. "The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men." Proverbs chapter 8, verse 16. "By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." You see, the world is incensed in the fact that there is a Almighty God, and he is the controller of everything that goes on here. He controls, he allows those things that God wants to take place. People are saying to me today, "Pastor, is it going to get any worse?" My first thought to them and to say is, "Well, have you read your Bible?" And most people who ask me that question have not. According to God's Word, the Bible says, "As in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." How was it in the time of Noah? Well, you go back there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and the Bible says this. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually." Let's back up a second. This is just a few years after Adam has died. We're talking about 1,000 years in the beginning of time. No, Adam was 930 years old when he died. And this is what God is saying at the beginning of time. In verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have committed from the face of the earth, both men and beasts and creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Next verse. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Let me remind you, this world has not always been a good place. "And as in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." In Acts, the Bible tells about Jesus Christ going into heaven, and the angel said, "Why stand thee gazing up?" The same Jesus went away. He's going to come back the same way. We as a Christian body, we as people that love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, we are looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. His first coming, of course, Bethlehem, which we just enjoyed such a wonderful Christmas. Welcome home, Ortizes. Glad to have some of you folks home back home. We've enjoyed Christmas. That was his first coming. But his second coming is going to be spectacular. It's going to be amazing. The Bible says the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that remain shall be caught up. And we'll, listen to me, we will ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to just getting out of this crazy, mixed up world where mankind has poo-pooed everything about God and spit in God's face and slapped him in the face and said, "I'm not going to have anything to do with you because you're not real." Duh. And I'm not speaking Russian. Duh means yes in Russian. Now you're bilingual. You know another word. Amen. So when your child says duh to you, they're just saying yes. The world is incensed in the fact that Almighty God is the controller of every situation that goes on. Some people don't like the outcome of elections. Some people don't like the outcome of this and that. But let me tell you something. God allows those things. And God knows. And by the way, he's right on time. He's right on track. From the first battle on earth that mankind ever entered into to the last battle that mankind will ever have, it will ultimately end up the same way. Mankind is unwilling to be controlled by the Almighty God, but He will be. Mankind is unwilling to be controlled. And God's Word, mankind has been given all the revelation or the insight he needs to tell him what had transpired before God and how that God created mankind and what mankind is supposed to do and what mankind is looking for. God has never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. Listen to me now. He's never intended that, ever one time. We are in the dark because we're unwilling to read our owner's manual, amen? We're in the dark because we do not know the Word of God. We're in the dark because we're unwilling to come to church and have the preacher preach to you. We're unwilling to personally take the Word of God daily and read His Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and created light and vegetation, all the species that inhabited this planet. And the crowning creation of it all was He created mankind out of the dust. And the reason He created them, so that He would have fellowship with mankind. I was created for Him. He was not created for me. Get over it, amen. Heard a fellow the other day saying something. I said, hey, beggars can't be choosers. I'm a beggar. I'm made out of dust. But my God in heaven told me that I am one of His sons if I accept Him as my personal Savior. Wow, how's that? That's a lollapalooza, isn't it? Can you imagine having that your dad's the king? That you have no wants? He has no issues. He takes care of you every step of the way. He is always faithful. In fact, He says His faithfulness is renewed every morning. His mercy is always there. Isn't it amazing? We serve an awesome God like that. Amen. In fact, when God created mankind, it only took Him 6 days. I can't even clean my garage in that time. And may I add, He created out of nothing, ex nihilo. When God turned over the Garden of Eden to mankind, there was not one sin in that garden. Everything was perfect as God had made it. It was perfect. Which began what we commonly call in the ministry, the age of innocence. In this earth, there's an age of innocence. Man had not sinned. Everything was perfect. And God said what He created was very good. God created mankind perfect without sin, and God also created mankind with a free will. And God did not let man be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. He commanded man, if he ever ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mankind would surely die. Was that fair of God? Absolutely. Don't eat it. Is it fair for a parent to say, now, son, I don't want you to do that? And of course, what happens? He does it. And of course, there are consequences for our actions. Consequence when we do right, good consequence. Consequence when we do bad, not good. Just like Adam and Eve, God said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge. You can have the whole garden. It's all yours. You can do anything you want. Anything you want. Except one thing. I have one tree, and it's contraband. It's one tree. You do not eat. Didn't say you didn't touch. Didn't say you didn't stand there and marvel at it. It said you don't eat it. And when woman took of that tree and ate and gave to her husband, something unbelievable happened. Shouldn't be unbelievable, but something unbelievable happened. Mankind fell. And every one of you who sit in this auditorium today, part of your DNA, there's something called death. and that death came from your first father and mother, Adam and Eve. And death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. Scripture teaches us that all of us are in debt. For the wages of sin is death. There is a debt that has to be paid for our sins. Why? To Adam and Eve. I remember Elsa, one of our wonderful little ladies in our church, who was 90. It was her 96th or 98th birthday, and we had a birthday party for her, and we were just having a good time. And her brother said to her, his name was Putt, just a lot younger guy, and old Putt said, "Hey, Elsa, this is the golden years." And she says, "Golden years? It's more like brass. It stinks." She said, "Getting old is not easy." She said, "Getting old is not for the lighthearted." Boy, she preaches a sermon, amen. I remember one day I was at a Bible study. She was living in Cambridge Court, and I was talking about heaven. And I was asking around. I said, "What are you going to do? The first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven?" And Elsa raised her hand. I said, "Yes, Elsa. What are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to go over and whack Eve." What a whacker. Oh, man. Wouldn't it be nice if we could whack Eve, amen? All the sorrows and heartaches that we put into this world because of that sin. Unfortunately, sin passed upon all men for all sin. Therefore, since we are sinners and since we have a debt, we need someone. Someone needs to help us pay for that sin. Now, we can pay for it. Of course, the Bible says for the wages of sin is death. That word death means destruction forever. That means hell for eternity. But I love the next verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God there's a payment for that sin. Amen. Well, you remember the story. Satan came and Satan finds Eve by herself and he tempts her and he convinces her. And Satan destroys her sinlessness and she no longer is innocent. And she passed on to her husband and he's no longer. The Bible says Eve was deceived, but Adam sinned. Every time a person puts a stitch of clothes on, he or she is saying, "I have been cursed by sin." God gives mankind another chance to serve him and trust him by his word, and that is what we call the age of conscience. God moves man into a new realm of life, and out of the garden he takes him. And he's told to do good, and he is responsible for his own actions. And he is to sacrifice, and he is live with his conscience and by his conscience. And again, mankind shows off his true heart. And flounders in sin. And the Bible said, as I read before in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Do you see that today? So God destroyed everything great in the world of a flood. And he tells man, named Noah, to build an ark to save his family, his wife, and three boys and their wives. And two of every kind of beast that breathes the breath of air into his nostrils, and seven of those clean animals that breathed in their nostrils. And after the flood, God gives another age we call a family, a special race, a chosen people. We call this the age of promise. This man named Abram would later be called Abraham. God said to Abram, "I want to make a covenant with you. And I'll promise to make a great nation out of you. And you and your families are responsible to follow me." Yet, as in and with all men, we fall off and don't do what we're commanded. And during this time, God's people wound up down in Egypt and stayed there for over 400 years. And after the chosen people failed the test, God starts another way of life, and we call that the age of law. God gave mankind a book of laws, which were commonly known to us, the Ten Commandments. In fact, there's a lot more commandments. In fact, today most people think they're the Ten Suggestions, but they're Ten Commandments. The Scripture says, "Thou shalt not have any other God before me. Thou shalt not bow down to any other gods." On and on. "Children will be your parents. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not kill." And God raised up a man named Moses and became the great leader of Israel. And he received the tablets of stone written on both sides, God's law of governing printed on them. Amen. Moses dies, and then a man named Joshua takes over the leadership and takes the children of Israel into the promised land that he had promised Abraham. Yet again, man fails to keep God's law and is destined for more trouble. The next age of history is mankind is called the age of grace, the church age, which we're in today, which we are presently in. The age is noted for its domination of spiritual works by non-Israelites. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven, born of a Virgin Mary, born in a manger, lived 33 years of the age, was wrongfully crucified by his own people, the Jews, who would have nothing to do with him. And Christ died on the cross, and he shed his blood for the world, and he raised from the dead 3 days and three nights later. Yet they still refused him after that miraculous resurrection. And when Israel refused him, he turns the whole world and ordains them to preach the gospel to all mankind. In this age of grace, mankind is given the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. On the cross of Calvary, we see a wonderful illustration of that. There are two thieves, two murderers on both sides of Jesus Christ in the middle. One of what they call the malefactor turned to Jesus Christ and started to curse him. And the other malefactor hollered at him and said, "Hey, shut up. We deserve what we're getting today, but this man has done nothing amiss." And then he turns to the Christ who hangs between heaven and earth. And he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus Christ said, "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." Amen. Whoa, what a deal, amen. What a deal. Salvation is so simple. It's quite profound. It's quite amazing all the things when a man gets saved, he starts realizing all the things that God has given to him because of salvation. He realizes there's a God in heaven that loved him so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believeth in him should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life, go to heaven. When a man realizes he's a sinner and he has no way of help, no way of salvation, no way of getting out of this world without going to hell and burning forever, it is the point not a man wants to die and then the judgment. When mankind finally realizes that he is a great sinner and he needs a great Savior, he looks to the Christ of Calvary, the resurrected Son of God, and says, "God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me right now." He gets born over or born again or born anew. We don't understand it all. Thank God for that, because there's a lot of little boys and little girls who don't understand a lot of that, but they do need Jesus, amen. So they can bow their head to God and say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins and come into my heart." And then there's some old people that aren't very bright anymore and kind of dull and things are kind of in a gray. They can come to the Lord God and say, "God, I'm a sinner. All these years I've never followed you. I accept you as my Savior." Isn't that amazing how God can do that for us? Isn't that amazing how simple the simplicity of salvation is? So amazing. Mankind has walked away from God so many different times, so different ways. In days of innocence, man sins. In days of conscience, man sins. It's a promise, man sins. Days of the law, there it is, straight at you. Thou shalt not, thou shalt. And mankind still says, I don't want nothing to do with that. Amen. And then God sends His the only begotten Son of God. Sends God down to this earth. He is born in a manger. He is born from a virgin. He lives a spotless, perfect, lawful, everything perfect life. Yet mankind hates Him. The religious people that day despised Him because they could not live a life like He was living. They were going to take care of Him. They will destroy He who has fired up their conscience. We'll get rid of Him. It's like some of you used to do when you were in school. There's always somebody that always got an A or an A plus in their class. And you were upset with them because you were out partying and they were at home studying. They kill him. Put him to death. But something wonderful happened. He who they tried to destroy could not be destroyed. You see, you can't destroy God. They came to Pilate and said, this liar has said that He is going to raise from the dead. And we just know that His disciples are going to... See, they knew He was dead, amen? His disciples will come and steal His body away and say that He is alive. We need a garrison of Roman soldiers. And we want you to put the seal, the Roman seal on that tomb. That'll keep Him in. Wrong answer. You are messing with God. The Bible says that the angel rolled the stone away. And he came out of that. And the Bible says these tough Roman soldiers fell to the ground as dead. God always has a sense of humor, amen? Can you imagine these great, tough, Roman soldiers on the ground, squalling like little babies, little sissies? He's not here, for He is risen. Come see the place where He lay. So many people, they just don't want to accept Christ. People think I'm weird. People think of religion the crutch. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Tell that when you stand before a holy God. For every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that I am God. Oh, I'm so afraid what people may think of me. What will they think that I'm a Christian? I've never met a Christian yet at their deathbed sorry that they were a Christian. I've never met one. And I've been a pastor for 44 years. I've worked as a firefighter, an EMS, chaplain. I've never yet heard one person say, I'm so discouraged. I feel so bad that I lived a Christian life. I am sorry that I accepted Jesus Christ in my personal life. I've never heard of anybody like that. But I've sure heard a lot of people say, oh, God! I wished I would have! Yeah. Best thing to do is take care of it today, man. best thing to do is receive Christ as your personal Savior today while there is still time.
Amen.
Because the Bible said the trumpet shall sound. It will sound. The angel said he will come again in like manner, same way. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that remain shall be caught up and ever be with the Lord. Years ago, I had a friend of mine who, his dad was unsaved. And Marvin's dad was a tough, rough, I can't explain to you what he was like. Name was Leo. He was kind of Leo the Lion, really. He was just as tough as they came. I never met a guy who could fish like Leo. He was the best fisherman I know. If when a fish would bite on a line, he would tell you what kind of fish it was. I couldn't believe it. One time we're out fishing, all of a sudden he said, "Hey, I got a turtle." I looked at him. "Yeah, right." Guess what? He pulled up this 25-pound snapping turtle. I couldn't believe it. He just named it. I mean, he called bullhead and perch and northern pike and a walleye. He just knew exactly how they're hitting. It was the most amazing thing. Well, Leo and I got to be pretty good friends because Marvin said, "Preacher, my daddy won't listen to no preacher at all. He said, I sure like my daddy gets saved. I like the tough guys. I like those tough guys." And so old Leo, he didn't talk very good either. He had a filthy mouth. There was a lot of saying, "Now, Leo, 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 Leo." He tried to tell me a filthy joke. And I said, "Leo, Leo, Leo. I said, let me tell you a better one." And for about a year and a half, 2 years, I pastored the Elkton Church, First Baptist Church, Elkton, South Dakota. And time and time again, we started having coffee, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock down the Elkton Cafe. Chad, you remember the Elkton Cafe? About 10 o'clock, everybody in this little town would show up. The bankers, the equipment guys, the power people, telephone guys, preacher, firemen, we'd come in there, and everybody's always telling the latest stories, you know. And I remember one time, Jimmy Carter just won the election. And our president of our bank was staunch conservative Republican. I mean, in your face kind of guy. Next door to the restaurant was a grocery store. And so I went into Lubitz grocery store, and I bought a bag of peanuts. And I walked in, and everybody's talking and giving it to the banker. And I walked in, I threw the bag of peanuts. I said, "You better get used to eating them," and I turned around and walked out. I guess you had to be there. It was pretty funny, but anyway. Well, Leo, one day I was talking to him, and I said, "Leo, let me ask a question. How many years do you think you got left on this old life?" He said, "Well," he said, "if I like my family," he said, "probably about another 10 years. I said, "Okay, 10 years. Did you say 10 years? 10 years, okay. So I wrote on a napkin, 10. Then below that, and I didn't say nothing to him. I just started writing. I put 1 and comma 000, comma 000, comma 0, and I just went on and on and on. I filled that whole thing like that. And I said, "Leo, it's amazing. You won't receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because you're afraid somebody may say something to you or embarrass you about being a Christian." But I said, "Look at all these years." Only 10 years of that. But I said, "Look at all these years that you'll burn in hell forever." And I got up and walked out. I got to my office at the church, and I called all my deacons. I said, "Hey, listen," I said, "I think that Leo's about ready to get saved." Now remember, I've been working with this guy for 2 years. That afternoon, I stopped down at his house and banged on his door, and I said, "Leo, you home?" He said, "Yeah, come on in, preacher." He used to call me Rev. "Come on in, Rev." And I walked in and sat down at the kitchen table. I said, "Leo, isn't it about time you take care of this?" He dropped his head and he says, "Yeah, preacher." He says, "Yeah, I need to be saved." An old guy dropped onto his knees. Crocodile tears coming. He said, "Oh God, I'm such a sinner. I don't know if you have me. If you'll have me, I'd sure like you to have me." And he asked Jesus Christ to forgive his sin and come in his heart.
Amen.
Let me tell you about Leo. Leo used to be, after he drove bus, he'd sit down at the bar and suck beers until supper time, go home. Now Leo was reading his Bible, convicting me quite a bit because he and his wife read the Bible through the first year two times. Through and prayed. What happened to Leo? Leo got born over, got saved, got born again. Change came over his heart. He said, "I can't believe those stupid idiots down there sucking beer. Can you believe how idiots they are?" I said, "Yeah, I remember a guy used to do that." "Oh, shut up, Rev." Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Sin and despair like the sea wave cold threatens the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is the stain that cannot hide. What can we do to wash it away? Look, there's a flowing, a crimson tide, brighter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed of all who believe. You who are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon, cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all your sin. So God, in his love for humanity, sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross to give us a home in heaven when we die. Won't you receive him today? Father in heaven, I pray you just speak to our hearts. For some, it's very difficult to understand that there's a God in heaven that would love them that much. Lord, I pray today there'd be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day that they're born over, that they're born again, that they trust you as their Savior. Lord, I pray you'd speak to the hearts of these folks today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to ask you a couple of questions this morning. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." There has not been a time in my life that I can point to and I can remember the day that I said, "Oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me." Everybody has a birthday. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have a birthday. But everybody needs a second birth.
Amen.
Jesus told Nicodemus, the most religious man in the world, "You must be born again."
Amen.
If you're not born again, you will not see heaven. And again, he says, "You must be born again or you will not even enter heaven." I don't care what a good person you are, how wonderful you are. Hey, just because you're good does not mean you're going to heaven. Just because you're bad doesn't mean going to hell. It's what have you done with Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come in your heart? That's it right there. You say, "Preacher, I can't not remember a time in my life." Hey, why don't you make that time today? Why don't you right now where you're sitting just pray a prayer like this. Say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior today." John Newton, the great preacher. He was really old. And someone said something to him. He said, well, he said, I do know, remember one thing. I am a great sinner.
Amen.
And I have a great Savior. Won't you come to Jesus today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pianist is going to play. Let's all stand. Everyone stand. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that today. Why don't you step out of that seat right now and say, preacher, today, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Why don't you come right now? Just step right out of that seat. Come right now and say, you know what? I want Christ to be my Savior today. You come right now. Here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I just got to take care of you. Come. You're here today and say, preacher, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I haven't followed Lord and believer in baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come take care of that right now? Why don't you say, preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come? And you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm just not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, that's got to weigh heavily on you. Boy, the way the world is getting, how in the world can you live anymore like that? Say, I don't want no more of that. I want to be sure I'm saved. Are you saved today? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? If you're not, why don't you come on? Let me show you from God's Word. Please come. We're not here to make a Baptist out of here. Hey, be honest with you. I just want you to know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. That's all I want. That's my calling from God to tell others about Jesus. I thank God when I was a kid. 14 years old, I got saved. I got kind of late on my baptism. I wasn't 19 until I got baptized. Shame on me. No shame on people didn't tell me I needed to be. Baptism doesn't save you. What baptism does is show people that what you've done in your heart. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. You come. You're here today and say, preacher, I need to follow Lord and believe in baptism. Why don't you come? You're here today and say, preacher, we want to join this church. Why don't you come?
You may be seated. We're going to have a baptism. Pastor Shear is on his way up.